This summer, for athletes whose entire lives aim for the Olympics, all roads led to Los Angeles. Tonight, our colleague Andrew Lack tells of a different road to Los Angeles, a journey of another kind. Andre Previn, one of the few Americans ever to make it to the top ranks of the world's leading classical conductors, has been named the new musical director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. For Previn, the road to that pinnacle has come full circle. He grew up in Hollywood and was almost never forgiven for it. Some people there still think of him as just the guy who married Mia Farrow and composed those little ditties for the flicks. Andre Previn was always much more than his neighbors thought, and now he's going home to prove it.
Music is a day lost. And if you feel that way, then you should ally yourself with that instrument which has the greatest repertoire written for it, not the symphony orchestra.
It is an egomaniacal profession, though, isn't it?
I don't think any interpretive or recreative artist has a right to an egomaniacal attitude, because all you're doing is representing someone else's work. In other words, if the piece hadn't been composed, you'd be somewhere parking cars.
He's the most underrated great conductor of our time. So says renowned violinist Isaac Stern. Leonard Bernstein agrees. The finest orchestras of Europe and America invite him back year after year. Yet the critics have rarely given Andre Previn the respect his admirers say he deserves. And this is why. Previn became famous in the 1950s as a jazz piano player. He was one of the best-selling recording artists in jazz, and to the classical music establishment, his success in a popular art form like this made him an alien in the hallowed halls of serious music. As he loved playing jazz, especially with his heroes like Oscar Peterson, he gave it up. And as much as the public loved his playing, it didn't matter to him. Was all that mattered, just this, the music of Brahms or Mozart or Beethoven, serious music. For decades, Andre Previn has wanted simply to be taken seriously, to be taken into that tiny circle of conductors who lead the great orchestras of the world.
Was there a moment for you when you said, this is what I want to be, I want to be a conductor? You knew it in a flash.
Yeah. First time I ever stood in front of an orchestra. I decided this is what I want to do.
How old were you?
16.
Must have been pretty heady stuff, though, for a 16-year-old to stand up there.
Oh, yeah, but mind you, it was in front of a film orchestra, you know, movie orchestra, and the music it was pretty awful.
But that didn't stop the roar of approval for a child prodigy named Previn, who became the boy wonder of his hometown's leading industry before he even graduated from Beverly Hills High School.
When I was 18, they gave me my first movie to do where I actually got to compose the music and conduct it and all that. And it was a Lassie picture. It was great for me because, you know, if you remember those, people hardly spoke. They just ran over the Scottish hills and barked. It was never my ambition to stay there. You know, I mean, if you really love music very much, you cannot work in an industry the high point of which is to play music while actors speak.
Nevertheless, Previn spent some 20 years in motion pictures. He composed or arranged the music for more than 60 films, was nominated for 13 Academy Awards, and won 4 of them. None of that now seems to matter much to him either.
Some people still contend that you threw away your career when you left Hollywood.
The people who think I threw away my career are the people who are so firmly entrenched in Hollywood that their horizon goes from Burbank to Culver City. And therefore, if you are not working in a film studio, you cannot possibly be a success. But I must say, I think that's fairly hilarious, because I knew, to be serious, I knew that in order to break myself of the habit of that kind of relatively soft life and to really pursue something that I should have been pursuing all along, I had to not only quit writing for the movies, I had to leave California, and which is what I did.
He went to Europe in 1967 when he was 38. He was born in Berlin, but his family had fled Nazi Germany when he was a little boy. Previn has found his sanctuary in this 250-year-old farmhouse in the English countryside, where he and his wife Heather live the classical life. But in those early days of conducting, Previn took his lumps from the music critics. He has said that they would forgive a conductor anything, anything but having composed Hollywood film scores.
It must have hurt you, some of that. For a long time, Andre Previn is a lightweight musician. He
sure.
had
yes,
film
but you
scores.
See, I tell you what, if you're determined enough or dogged enough to keep going back to the same cities year after year to be a guest conductor, etc., and then after a while, the critics, who are the only ones capable of putting such an opinion into print, you know, into the public eye, they have to think of other insults because they don't want to repeat the same old jokes. So,
did it insult you?
Oh, sure, because it predetermined that I was not to be taken seriously before I ever started the concert. But the first time I got a bad review because the man didn't like the concert, instead of didn't like what I used to do years ago, I knew I was going to make it.
Still, the Hollywood reputation has hurt him in other ways. Previn has been married four times. During his third marriage to actress Mia Farrow, he found his reviews more often on the gossip page than in the music column.
Do you know what the first question is that Americans ask when you mention Andre Previn? To them.
What, we thought he was taller?
Like that. That might be the second. The first
right.
Is he still married to Mia Farrow?
That's not to be discussed in any shape or form, and not even with that answer.
You're reluctant to give of yourself personally, or to talk about yourself really in a personal way.
I'm not reluctant to talk personally in a situation where there are close friends sitting around with us in a sitting room. But I have had actual contempt for people who use the fact that they are professionally well known to air their private concerns to the public. I don't think it's a good thing to do.
Previn's private concerns include 9 children. 6 are from his marriage to Mia Farrow, 3 born to them and 3 adopted. They live most of the year with their mother. And now the latest in the line, baby Lucas Alexander Previn. At 55, Andre Previn would be the first to tell you that he has had many lives, both personally and professionally. In the past decade, he has been the musical director of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and the London Symphony simultaneously. He does 125 concerts a year, and with all the travel and preparation that goes into them, he lives nearly half of his life out of a suitcase.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vienna. For your comfort and safety, please remain seated.
What it really comes down to very often is not so much remembering the notes, but can we get the laundry done? No. The only thing is that no matter how tough it gets, you do get the reward of hearing the music at the end of a hard day, or at the end of a hard trip, or at the end of a terrible month. And that's really all the reward anybody needs.
Do you remember the first time you came to this town to conduct?
Oh yes, absolutely, because I was almost incapable of speech with fright.
A town whose native idiom is music can do that to a conductor. Vienna is the home of a symphony orchestra that many consider the finest in the world, and one which is very careful about who it allows to lead it. Previn is one of only 8 conductors this orchestra will work with.
What do you need a conductor for?
They would ask you the same. The best way to describe that is if you have a company of really first-rate classical actors, and they've all done Hamlet before, you still need somebody to tell them in which direction that particular day's Hamlet is supposed to go. That's why you need a director.
Do you agonize over a performance afterwards?
Oh, yes. After a concert, I'll go home and go to bed and then conduct the whole damn thing all over again in my head without meaning to. I think your work has to frighten you. And I'm happy to tell you that everything I do frightens me badly.
Just be the return of the native when André Previn takes over the Los Angeles Philharmonic. After 20 years, it will be for him, if you believe in Hollywood endings, a triumph as sweet as the sound of music.